From the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I yearned to be a real official bird watcher. My first role model was a TV character named Pamela Livingstone, portrayed by Nancy Culp on The Bob Cummings Show. Nancy Culp went on to play a similar role, Miss Jane Hathaway, on The Beverly Hillbillies. Paul Henning created and produced both series and wrote many of the episodes. And in both sitcoms, he wrote Nancy Culp's character as a stereotypically ridiculous spinster, her being a birdwatcher a cliché. But that went entirely over my head. I adored her. She was kind and gentle, and she really seemed to know how to find and identify birds. Nancy Culp's characters were often shown wearing binoculars, so I, of course, yearned to have those, but my mother said TV shows were made up. The only people in real life who were allowed to have binoculars were soldiers, spies, and peeping toms. I didn't know any soldiers, spies, or peeping toms, and sure enough, neither did I know anyone with binoculars. I didn't know there was such a thing as a field guide, so even if I'd had binoculars, I wouldn't have had a clue how to find or identify birds. When at Russ's suggestion, his parents gave me a field guide and binoculars for Christmas in 1974, that wasn't simply life-changing, it turned my universe upside down. Or really, it turned my universe right side up. That first year, I birded mostly in Lansing, Michigan, where we lived, with short trips to Chicago to see our families and to northern Wisconsin to help Russ's parents fix up the house where they would retire. Barely a month after I started birding, I got to spend a few days at a naturalists' convention in Virginia. But we were so busy from morning till night that I added just a single species, the white-throated sparrow. I got good looks a few times, but this was spring migration and they were singing so persistently that I could hear that sweet old Sam Peabody, Peabody, Peabody even through the open windows at the meeting sessions. People pointed out what were my first turkey vultures, but I did not count them on my life list because they were so high up that I wasn't sure I could have figured them out on my own. Nevertheless, they were lovely to see. The next spring, I went on a couple of class-related field trips to Point Pelee in Ontario, where I added 8 more lifers. And just before we moved to Madison, Wisconsin in June 1976, Russ had a meeting in Savannah, Georgia, mileage and a good part of our lodging paid for, so I got to see some shockingly cool birds. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but the meeting hotel was not very far from the Savannah National Wildlife Refuge. That sounded like a good place, so I went to the refuge headquarters, got a checklist, and asked the person at the desk where some good spots might be. Voila! On that short trip, I added 26 new species, bringing my life list to 214, and saw firsthand that travel was the key to seeing lots of new birds in a short time. Russ and I were dirt poor in those days, but not in any dire sense. Our monthly income barely covered food, rent, and utilities. My tuition, Russ's was covered by fellowships and research assistantships, required books, and other absolute necessities. Our Pinto averaged about 25 miles per gallon, meaning we could travel the 500-mile round trip to Chicago on about 20 gallons of gas, which at the time cost about a quarter a gallon, or $5 for the round trip. That was a lot for us, but we could work 3 family trips into our annual budget for Christmas, spring break, and before the school year started. Again, we were hardly impoverished. We never went to bed hungry, always had a roof over our head, and were never in debt. As Mary Poppins said, enough is as good as a feast. Most travel was out of the question unless some of our expenses were paid by the university, which only happened when Russ was presenting at a meeting. But even though I was as acquisitive and hungry to see new birds as most avid birders, and even though I realized that the more places I traveled to, the more birds I'd see, I was virtually always perfectly contented at home with Russ, taking wonderful classes at Michigan State and seeing plenty of new birds along with the growing number of birds I was becoming familiar with. Of the 214 species I'd seen by the time we moved to Madison, Wisconsin, 174 species were seen in Michigan, 145 of them lifers. As fun as it was seeing those lifers, what made me happy was seeing any birds, and as it turned out, birds were everywhere I looked. Who knew? I'd spent 23 years not having a clue about field guides or binoculars, and suddenly, in just 15 months, I'd seen 214 different birds. Going from a lifetime of yearning to such bountiful riches was an unexpected and joyful sea change in my life. I felt richer than Miss Jane Hathaway herself. I had all the joys of birding, plus my own personal Jethro Clamp that loved me back. Was there ever a happier or, yes, a richer person on the planet? I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.